today on Real Radio.
When somebody says, as I'm about to say, truth always triumphs in the end, good always overcomes the evil. You know, that is true. It's absolutely true. It doesn't feel true sometimes, but it's true. You say, well, how do you know it's true? Because history says it's true. We have a proven track record.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. I'm David Jay. So glad you could join us. God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sin and return to Him so He could continue to bless them. Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In part 2 from Isaiah chapter 6, we looked at how God wants to fulfill what He has called us to do. He knows we can't do it on our own, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not to listen to what the world says to do in life, but to share the truth only found in Jesus Christ. We're all called by God to be faithful, to stand on God's word, and proclaim the truth, knowing the results are in God's hands. Now, in Isaiah chapter 7, we're reminded how God is bound to His word, and that His word is eternal and true. So today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God was specific in His prophecy about saving Judah. But when a nation rebels against God, as Judah often did, the people will still have to face the consequences. Even Isaiah was not immune from reaping what his country had sown. And now, continuing his lesson called God's Word is Always True, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Don't panic. Be quiet. You don't have to panic. Be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted. Man, these words are applicable today. For these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria, and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, here's what they said. The two kings come in against Judah. Verse 6, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabal. Now watch this first of all. The two kings say, let's invade and make a gap. It's a very, very vivid word. It's let's split their leadership. Let's split their culture right down the middle with a crack, and then we'll put a wedge in it and just part the whole thing. That sounds very, very current to me. Put something in the middle and begin to split its culture. Put something in the middle and begin to split its power, its government, the kingdom of the South. Split it open. We'll take it. God's word's always true, church, and He speaks through Isaiah. And if you're a skeptic in the house tonight, and that's cool, I'm glad you're here, just note this. This is God's word. This is a nearly 3,000-year-old prophecy in front of us. And Isaiah speaks and says, this is what's going to happen to those bad guys coming. And you need to go look at history to find out if it happened or not. This is my test to you. If it happened, when you go to research it, you find out if it happened, then what are you going to do with that information? Are you going to say it didn't happen? Frankly, with all due respect, you're a fool, because it is an actual historical event. It is recorded in not only biblical history, but in world history. This that's being prophesied really happened. Number two, if you don't reject it and say it didn't happen, then what are you going to do but believe it did happen? Because why? The facts say it did. Which, where is that going to lead you? If I could get you tonight to consider one prophecy of God against all odds being fulfilled, would you be willing to consider the rest of God's prophetic promises? If you and I are in a logic class or in a debate class, and we were preparing, then you know that one of the ways for good that we would do is take a wedge in a crack and begin to open up your thought or your opponent's thought processes in a way by doing it this way. If you can get your opponent, who may be in our context discrediting the Bible, if you can get them to look at just one claim of scripture that is archaeologically, historically, or linguistically, scientifically true, they have to face the facts. Are you with me, everybody? Then you've got them. Because in the laws of probability, if you have one truth proclaimed by God, it's called prophecy, when he speaks truth in advance. Eschatologically is the scientific word. When God speaks in advance, in detail, what's going to happen, when it happens, if you can get any of your friends or professors or skeptics or students to understand that this happened, they've got to face that music. It's inevitable, ladies and gentlemen. Then you've got them. Because based on the laws of probability, you could come back to them and say, did you go home and look at it? Did you see that I was correct on this? Yes, you were, but I'll give you that, they'll say. I'll give you that. Then the battle's over. You may not lead them in the sinner's prayer in the next 5 minutes, but they'll never be the same. Because for the good, you got to wedge in the crack. And their dark kingdom is beginning to crack open and break down. This is a truth for good or for evil. This is a truth. That when you begin to insert something instead of, if you insert good instead of evil, good stuff begins to happen in the culture or in your life, in your home, in the city, in the nation. But if you get a wedge in of evil, then it begins to fester, and the cancer. Look, we all know this. It's amazing. You can't even weigh a cancer cell. I mean, I know you can scientifically, but let's, for our argument, you can't. Well, how much does a cancer cell weigh? And yet, isn't it amazing? It can bring your entire 200-pound structure to its knees, ultimately to death, if left unchecked, correct? The same is true for both good and evil. The encouraging thing, you know, people will debate this. When somebody says, as I'm about to say, truth always triumphs in the end. Good always overcomes the evil. You know, that is true. It's absolutely true. It doesn't feel true sometimes, but it's true. You say, well, how do you know it's true? Because history says it's true. We have a proven track record. We have 5,000-6,000 years of it being proven true. Plus, of course, God says it's true, but watch this. Even in, again, scientific terms, we know it's true. Because we can turn out the lights in this place, blacken this whole place out. And in fact, has anyone here ever been to the Oregon Caves? Raise your hands. Anybody? Has anyone ever been to any kind of a cave that's really super dark? Okay, good. Carlsbad Caverns, somebody like this, whatever. I've never been to Carlsbad Caverns, but did they do the same thing in the Oregon Caves? Did they turn the lights off once you're inside? Mean trick, isn't it? They get you inside far enough, and then the park ranger turns off all the lights. And it is the darkest dark you've ever seen, or not seen. And they will tell you in those national park visits that if you're lost inside those chambers, you will go insane. They have found people lost inside that went nuts because they almost suffocated. There was a sense or feeling of being buried alive. Even though we were in a huge chamber, we were in the chamber room in the Oregon Caves. It's massive. You can get about 300 people in there, if I remember right. A lot of people. And they turned off the lights and you felt like you were almost choking for some, like stuff was on you and there's nobody's touching you. I can't imagine living like that. The park ranger, instead of turning the lights on, do you know what he did? He took his lighter and he lit it. And that light, little light, invaded that entire room. And this, oh friends, listen, if you've never experienced it, please believe me when I tell you this. As soon as that ranger turned on that light, you could almost feel your pulse go down and your heart rate slow down. There was hope. You could feel it. Isn't it horrible to consider, to think? The Bible says that hell is absolutely dark. And so the evil has invaded. Verse 7 says, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is reason. Within 65 years, watch this, mark it. I challenge you, skeptics, circle the word 65 years. It's in your Bible. You say, somebody just wrote that in there a few weeks ago. I got better news than that. From the Greek Septuagint, centuries before Jesus was even born, the Old Testament writings into Greek have this scripture passage, Dead Sea Scrolls. You ever heard of them? This verse, this 65 years in 1947-48 in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were buried in the Qumran caverns down by the Dead Sea, written centuries before Jesus was born, they pulled out the Dead Sea Scrolls, which contained the book of Isaiah, and matched it to the old King James version of your Bible, written in what, 1610, 1611? And it was word for word. And what did it say in this verse? 65 years after this event, the Bible says, Ephraim will be broken. The south will be broken in 65 years. So don't worry about the invasion. 65 years later, it's going to come, it's going to be broken. And it just says it. The Bible just says it out there. It's almost like the Bible saying, come on, come on, come on. Just lay down a number. Boom. Holy Spirit, who's the author of the Bible, says the Bible. Holy Spirit says he wrote the Bible. He just goes, boom, 65 years. There it is. Begging for any truth miners to go take him on. It's my opinion. Of course, I'm biased. I see the light. I'm saved. I'm one of his kids. To me, the truth is crystal clear. But listen, if you doubt this, go look and see. Whatever atheism you espouse to or whatever other religion you hold to, it ain't like this. You don't have this accuracy. So within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken so that it will not be a people. What does that mean? I'm going to dissolve it as a nation. The head, verse 9, of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Ramaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. I want you to write a few things down as we look at these verses here in verses 1 through 9 about God keeping his word. 2 Peter chapter 1. Check this out. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is a huge statement. I love it. The Bible says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed to as a light that shines in a dark place. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? That means no group of goofballs can come out of their goofball closet and say, this is what the Bible says. Anybody says that their little group has got a little market on truth, and they'll tell you what the Bible says, run. Look, if I ever come across to you, if you misunderstand me and I fail in my teaching abilities, and you say to me, did you say that this is what the Bible really says? And you contradicted that verse. If I were to ever do that, you need to give me smelling salts, take my pulse, call a doctor. My job and any pastor teacher's job is to point you to the Word of God and illuminate the Word of God to you using the Word of God. Not when somebody says, tonight or today we're in our Bibles and here we are in this chapter. You're going to hear some things today that's not in the Bible. Because God just showed it to me last night. It's a new revelation. You laugh, but people get this garbage all the time from people. God has shown it to me, his humble servant. And I'm to tell you, no. Cult. That's a cult. And you run. You run. He goes on, though, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man. The Bible was never authored by man's will, man's thinking. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved, possessed by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? I heard somebody, it was a couple of years ago, he and I were talking, and he said, I can't stomach arguing with you. Because he's talking to me. You are completely, what's the word? He didn't say nonsensical, but he meant it. Idiotic was more like it. And you know the reason why? He said, for all of your arguments for what you believe in, now we were talking about the existence of God. Does God exist or not? He said, no. I said, yes. Okay, and I was doing a pretty good job of holding my science. But I would say, in correlation with science, because good science, you know, good science is good Bible. Good Bible is good science. They should never contradict each other if God exists. And so he said, I'm not, you're idiotic. I'm not going to talk to you any longer because every time you go to prove your point, you say the Bible says. Well, I said, every time you go to prove your point, you say Chuck Darwin says. So what are we going to do here? It's either Darwin or God. I chose God. He chose Darwin. Okay, whatever. I think I'm going to fare better in the end, but that's his choice. The Holy Spirit did this. Listen, he's the author of God's word in advance. And he's announcing through the prophet Isaiah to the southern kingdom, the bad guys are coming. Don't be shaken. Don't freak out. Just know this. In my mercy, because you guys know, we've gone through 6 chapters. You guys know how bad Judah had been to God. And they're still not done being bad to him. And yet he's going to be merciful to them. He says, in 65 years, you're going to get what's coming to you. Imagine if God were to say to us, now, this is a bitter, those of us who are older, this is a bittersweet. Now, if you're younger, it's like, yeah, right on. If God were to say, you guys deserve a real big spanking, and I'm going to shake the continent to the core and split it open and destroy it, but I heard your cry, and I'm not going to do it for 65 years. Some of you would go, yes. And there's a part of me, because look, in 65 years, what do I care? I don't plan on being here at like 111 or whatever the 121 or whatever my age would be. Okay, how much? Thanks, 123. He knows how old I'll be before I don't really care about that. I don't plan on living that long. But you know what? My kids could be really old. That's a bummer. But what's worse than that is my grandkids. And then what if my grandkids have kids? What if my grandkids have kids? You see at that age? It's like, oh, man. But listen, a nation, just as a people, just as myself, just as you, we always reap what we sow. You know, God loves you. Are you a Christian tonight? Raise your hands if you're a Christian. God loves you. But do you know that if, for example, if you go cheat on your husband or your wife and you go having an affair, just once, man, I only messed up once, and you've got now syphilis, gonorrhea, AIDS, something. Say, man, I only messed up once. You know, listen, as a Christian, God still loves you. If he loves me, well, why do I have this disease? Well, if you want to play that game, if you love him, why did you go do that? So don't play that game. It never works good for you. But God says he loves you, and now you've got this disease, and it's going to kill you dead. What is wrong with this picture? Answer, we live in a fallen world. God's word is true. He always keeps his word. And though he forgave you because you repented of that sin, you've got a disease. Why? Because that's the way science works. You say, man, I can't believe she got pregnant. We only did it one time. Do you understand? It not only takes just one time, it takes just one. It's pure scientific. I mean, we're only together 5 minutes. It only takes a nanosecond. Think of it. And then you reap what you sow. You see, we'd like to hear this. As Christians, and listen, even as a non-believer, it's the law of God. If Christians mess up, God forgives us. We're still going to heaven. But listen, you goof up and rob a bank and get caught as a Christian. I just backslid. And you'll be in jail for 30 years. There's nothing wrong here. That's exactly how it works. It's the way it works. And a nation, listen, when a nation sins against God, the nation can repent. We haven't. We haven't repented. We're still sinning. The meter is still flying up in heaven on America. But if America repented today, there's a whole lot of reaping that's coming. You understand that? Someone has to pay for our national sins. This is never a popular thing to say.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 1. Isn't that the truth? I'm David J. Thank you for listening today. And if you have faith in Christ and have received him as your personal Savior, like Israel, God's hand of promise and protection will never leave you. God's Word is Always True, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. As many of you know, Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month, and April's book of the month is called Courageous Faith by Ed Heinsohn. In it, we'll discover how to face life's greatest challenges with courage and faith that can only come from the power of God. Courageous faith enables us to live by God's promises, experience his blessings, and encourage us to live beyond the normal limits of life. This exciting book also shows us how to overcome our barriers, conquer our fears, realize our goals, and to start over when we fail. Inside the pages of Courageous Faith, we relive the greatest moments of faith and triumph in the lives of Old Testament heroes, those who dared to believe God's promises in their lives. Again, the April recommended book of the month is called Courageous Faith by Ed Heinsohn, and it's available for purchase at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.